Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Party Friday. The Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up with Julie Hayden and Chuck Bonnywell. Although the Chuck Bonnywell portion is at a meeting this afternoon, had some stuff come up with the paper, so he won't be joining us. We will get into the Trump rally, the huge successful rally at the Bronx. And also I'm beginning to develop another conspiracy theory, and I'll explain that to you then. But first I wanted to welcome to the show Darcy Schoenig. She's with the Colorado Republican Party. And the Colorado Republican Party has launched, I think it's brilliant. It's a strategy to deal with some of the attacks on our children and our constitutional rights. And as you can imagine, the left and the rhinos are losing their minds over it. So, Darcy, we've got you on the show to explain what's going on. And thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Julie.
All right. What the Colorado Republican Party has done is come up with a strategy to fight back against some of the laws that were passed in the Colorado legislature by these radical Democrats. And it's all to indoctrinate our kids with the transgender ideology, right? And the headlines have said, oh, Republicans say no children should go to school. I mean, it's just insane, their reaction to it, which means you're over the target. But why don't I get you to explain, because they completely mislead people about what the laws actually say. They make them sound benign and, oh, that's just common sense. But talk about what the laws, and then we'll talk later about what you guys are doing to fight it. But what do these new laws that are going to be affecting our kids and our schools and our teachers, what do they actually say?
Well, there are so many different laws that have been passed this year. The law in question that we're talking about, House Bill 1039, is non-legal name changes for students. And that is the law that allows, or it actually compels teachers to use a student's preferred name and pronoun versus the pronouns that they were born with and the names that their parents gave them at birth. The crux of the issue with this bill is the same as all of the other bills and what we're seeing in the Colorado legislature this year, which is the removal of parental rights. And then the assertion that the state knows best, that the state of Colorado knows best. So you as a mother, they're taking away your right to say, I don't want my child who's a minor to identify as a female, or I don't want my child to use a name other than the one I gave him at birth. And the Colorado legislature has come along in the last couple of years, but especially this last year, and said, you know what, parents no longer have rights. They no longer have rights about who is using the bathroom with their small school age children, who is using the locker room with their children, what name their children go by, what materials in schools they're being exposed to. And that's what they're doing, is they're just taking away your rights, and children are basically becoming closer and closer to being wards of the state, I would say.
Well, and the language too, that as you mentioned, it compels the teacher to use this. And then if the teacher doesn't want to, and we'll get into that in a second, that there is punishment for the teacher, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Now I have so many thoughts on this. So, you know, our son just graduated. He just finished seventh grade. He's going into eighth grade. So we're deep in the heart of middle school. And what this is doing is largely taking control of the school away from teachers and parents and handing it over to a bunch of 12, 13, and 14 year olds or so, right? And I know my son, for instance, says at his school, and he goes to a great school, the Academy of Charter Schools, but he says there's some kids, girls, who change their identity and their pronouns and their names constantly, right? And so I could see this scenario. So you're the teacher. Yesterday, this girl went by a certain pronoun, a certain name, a certain identity. But on the way to school, she's texting her friends and decides suddenly she's changed it, right? And so she shows up in your homeroom class. You have no idea. You call her the wrong name. She throws a fit. And all of a sudden, you as a teacher could be embroiled in all of this. Oh, and by the way, nobody's going to call the mother or father and tell them about it, right?
Correct. Yes. The intent of this law is to punish teachers who don't agree with the use of pronouns or any other different name. And we have seen in recent, actually just this past year, it's happening a lot in Monument where I live, where students are being punished because it was very easy to say, okay, so and so, Bob, you're not referring to Allie by her chosen name of Adam. Therefore, you're a bigot, you're using hate speech, you're
Right.
harassing, but they're not the legislature and these school boards are not taking into account the rights of Bob to not
Right.
be compelled to use speech that goes against his religion or speech that makes no sense.
Right. Well, and I'm assuming that most schools, because when I was back, this is years ago, 7 years ago now, at the TV station, some of this was starting to come up. And I remember doing a story with the Cherry Creek School District. And back then, actually, policies were reasonable. And the school district was pointing out that, say, if you had a 13-year-old who sincerely felt that they were the other gender, right, and they wanted to change their name. They said there are mechanisms in place for you to meet with the school, for the parents and the student, for them to work it out, for them to let the staff know, to figure out what they're going to do. I mean, it's not as if there aren't things in place already that if it's not just, I mean, frankly, a middle school attention getting device, but if it is a sincere situation, there's stuff in place to deal with that, right?
Correct. Yes, there's kids 12 and older in the state of Colorado can change their own names. In fact, they don't even need parental permission to do so. So this isn't about kids feeling safe. This isn't about kids feeling accepted. In fact, the Democrat Party chair for Colorado today spoke out and said that this was an attempt by the Colorado GOP to not be inclusive, to be bigoted. I mean, none of that holds any water here. The kids who sincerely want to change their genders, we're not trying to tell people how to live,
Right.
but we're asking that parents have some say in the upbringing of their children and have some knowledge of what's going on in those schools. And when they aren't receiving that knowledge, they're not receiving that notification. I mean, that's a clear violation of the 14th Amendment.
Right.
And that's what we're dealing with now. So we have to make sure that it, okay, so if there are policies in place for your child to legally transition or, to go change his name, why are we now bringing this into the schools? And like I continue to say, the goal here is very clear, to drive a wedge between a parent and a child.
Right.
Teach these future Democrats in our public schools that the state knows best.
Exactly. Well, and I'll and another example again from my real life experience. So I have a grown daughter, right? And she's 38 now. And when she was in middle school, one day one of her teachers called and she said, "Look, I want you to know that your daughter and some of her friends have been doing this binging and purging and eating disorder thing, right?" And the teacher said, "Now, I want you to know that," and they were telling me because they said, "We don't believe that this is all." They said it's one girl had an issue, right? And the other girls were just doing it because it was kind of cool is maybe not the right word, but sort of attention getting, right?
Right.
And so because that teacher, number one, was able to actually have conversations with the kids without fear, the teacher was able to talk to the kids. The teacher was able to reach out to us as parents. So we could then talk to our daughter, who did in fact say, no, it was just this one girl. And it was in its own way, everything worked out fine because these are a bunch of 12, 13-year-old girls who didn't really know how to help their friend except to maybe pretend they had it too. And because of the ability of the teacher to communicate with the kids and the parents, number one, the other girls were kind of straightened out, right? And the girl who really needed the help got it. And it seems to me that this law, as you said, it's designed to get rid of all of that, to make it impossible for teachers to help and parents to help and kids to help each other, and just for the Jared Polis and the radical Democrats to tell us all how to run our lives.
That's exactly right. And we see it all over social media the past 2 days. The email went out Tuesday morning, early in the morning. And I mean, ever since then, it's like you said, you're over the target because they're losing their minds over
Yes.
this statement of the kids would be better served not in public schools right now. If you can get your kids out of public schools, it's prudent to do so. I realized working families don't always have money for private schools. They don't always have the time to homeschool. But really what this statement that we made is number one, here's a policy to protect local boards, local parents, and local students to push back on the Democrat supermajority in the legislature. But number two, this has become so serious that it is time to start for parents to start asking themselves, what is the risk? What is the harm of having my child in a public school versus the benefit? And I think when we start to really look at it, we have reached a place in Colorado where it is just no longer wise to have your kids in a public school unchecked and trust that that staff and that the state of Colorado has your kids back, because they don't.
No. Well, and so what is it? Talk about the policy, because again, you'd think that you were suggesting that you chop off everybody's heads or something. I mean, you know, they're just so freaking out about this. What is it that you guys, because this is a strategy to fight back against this. It's been used in California and in other places by teachers successfully. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So as this law was being passed through the legislature between both chambers, it started to become pretty clear that it would pass. And we knew the Democrats were going to pass it. We knew Polis was going to sign it into law. And obviously, I could beat my head against a wall all day saying, well, let's write a bill for next year to undo it. That's not going to do anything.
No,
it's just not going to do anything. So what I have found over the years with school boards is if you can get to some of these conservative school boards and say, hey, you know, please protect your students. Here's a policy that basically goes around the law that the Democrats just wrote. Please implement this in your district. We were wildly successful last year in having a lot of the school districts opt out of House Bill 1003 mental health assessments. Okay. And so the thought process here was the same thing. So we're encouraging school districts to pass a resolution that basically the gist of it, all it says is we stand by our teachers' freedom of religion, and we stand by the 14th Amendment, and we stand by free speech. Therefore, we are encouraging our teachers who do not agree with this new law, House Bill 1039, to not be compelled into any speech, to continue using the speech that they want to use, and then to go ahead and challenge the state of Colorado or any school districts to go ahead and take those teachers to court. We saw recently last week that a teacher in California won this. You cannot compel teachers to, or anybody, to use speech that they don't want to use.
Right.
So this was just an encouragement by the Colorado Republican Party to go ahead and pass a policy, pass a resolution to encourage teachers to stand for free speech and not use these woke pronouns behind the backs of parents without notification. So to stand for parental rights.
Right. Well, and I think we've seen, you know, the Supreme Court, and look at the Jack Phillips Masterpiece Cake Shop case, right? Where, they said, it was a narrow ruling, but basically they said, no, you can't, the state of Colorado cannot compel him to put a decoration on a cake and create a design that goes against what he believes. And I think I would, again, just bringing common sense, I would assume that if you're a teacher and you have a student who is sincerely going through this and has legally changed their name, I bet no teacher would really have a problem, you know, helping that child, right? But as you said, it's like, why do they want to not have parents involved? Why do they want to compel teachers? And I think it's because they're starting to, which is why the pushback has been so strong on you. Well, and the Colorado Republican Party, right? Because they're starting to see teachers, I think, saying, this is insane, right? We're letting, like I said, the 13-year-olds run the school, and I could be disciplined, fired, sued, whatever, you know, or the same thing, like you said, my son could be disciplined because some other person said, oh, well, you misgendered me. And he has no idea, right? And it's just it. And again, and to not bring the parents in, that's clear what their intentions are.
That's exactly what's happening here. And that's exactly what's happening with all of the laws that they're passing as far as Colorado education goes. And, you know, I had a parent reach out yesterday and tell me, I think it was Jefferson County, they did a before and after of all the students. So they took a picture of all the students at the beginning of the 2023-2024 school year. And then I want to say it was like a fifth or sixth grade class. And then when it was over with, the school year was over with, they took after photos of all the kids at the end of the year, which is a pretty standard practice.
Right.
Well, this parent noticed in the 9 months of this past school year, six kids in that class transitioned and became other genders.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just a clear agenda that they're, like I said, it doesn't even have to be the trans agenda. Let's be honest.
Right.
We could replace the trans agenda with anything else.
Right.
This is a move to indoctrinate children into the Democrat way of thinking, the way of thinking that my feelings are more important than, law and order. My feelings are
Right.
more important than kids learning. And that's what we're seeing every day across the state of Colorado. As my email said, there was an example at Grand Peak Academy where a grown male is using the bathroom with third grade girls.
Right.
I would challenge Shad Marie, the Democrat Party chair here in Colorado, or literally any Democrat in this state. Go ahead and text me and call me and tell me why that makes sense.
Right.
And then tell me if you had a third grade daughter that you would be comfortable with this.
Well, and let's just call it what it is. What that is that's pedophilia and that's grooming. Why would, no matter, first of all, if you're a female teacher, they don't want to use a bathroom with the kids, right? I mean, anyone who's been in a school does not want to go to the bathroom with a bunch of third graders or whatever, right? The staff has their own bathroom. So any person who is using the children's bathroom is doing that for a not good, a nefarious, a corrupt, and an evil reason in the first place, it seems to me, right?
Exactly.
I mean, again, common sense. Teachers don't, I mean, my sister was a teacher's aide. They like escape the kids. Yeah, they may love them and they may love being a teacher, but they escape the kids. They don't want to use their bathrooms. And the whole thing, and it is, and here's again back why I think it's so important that parents be notified. When I went to school, I went to a Catholic school, right? And tragically, in the middle of it, it went from being like midi skirts to mini skirts, right? But you could only buy your uniforms once a year, so we all had these like long skirts, right? So we would all like wear them long till we got to school, and then we'd all go in the bathroom and we'd roll them and roll them and roll them and
We did
roll them
that.
up. Yeah, and they would be short,
Yeah.
right? Likewise, my mother did not allow me to wear makeup to school. So the first thing I did when I got to school is I took out my secret stash that my girlfriend had, right? And we put our makeup on it at school. But it's important then for the teachers to be able to say, Mrs. Hayden, just so you know,
Right.
the girls are doing this. And so parents and that wasn't an innocent one, but this is what kids do in school, and that's why you have adults, not the states of Colorado and the government, trying to take care of them, I think.
No, yeah, exactly. And my heart breaks for the teachers in Colorado because, like you said, I think the vast majority of teachers, they want to teach. They want to send productive little kids out into society that become
Yes.
adults. Like they got into this field for the right reasons. And
Right.
now they're in Colorado and these things are being handed down to them. And they don't have a choice. And that's why I think it's important for entities like the state of Co or the Colorado GOP to say, look, like you do have a choice. You always have a choice. And I can't imagine being a teacher in Colorado and having some student come to me and say, I want to transition. I want to be, my name is Allie. I'm now Adam. Don't tell my parents. I mean, as a human being, as a teacher, that's gotta be a horrible spot to be in.
Right. Well, and as you said, and that's what they're trying to create, right? And that's why they're freaking out when you simply point out, oh, remember, parents, by the way, you have a choice. They're your kids. So, if you've got a public school, that you don't agree with, a school board that you don't agree with, then you can send your kid to a different school. I mean, and that's what the teachers union hates in Colorado, right? Douglas County, is sort of ground zero for some of the vouchers and things like that. And they hate the thought that parents might actually put their kids in a school where the focus is on education, not, indoctrination.
Right, exactly. I mean, the teachers' unions are just, they are incensed by the statements made by the Colorado GOP in the last couple of days, and we know why. I mean, they see their funding start to slip away. They see their per pupil dollars start to slip away, and they see the loss of students that they see the loss of kids that they can indoctrinate. And like I said, turn into future socialists and communists and the type of people that come into our legislature, like Tim Hernandez and Elizabeth Epps and Stephanie Vigil. That's who our Colorado schools are aiming to raise, more people like that.
Well, and you know what's also interesting about this is the other thing all these articles do is then they move very quickly to attacking Dave Williams for being divisive and because he likes Donald Trump and Donald Trump endorsed him, right? So what they don't get, and this is always what surprises me, are these people who attack, even the Republicans, the rhinos who attack Dave Williams because he likes Donald Trump, is most Republicans in Colorado like Donald Trump. Most look at the Bronx rally, which we'll talk about here when we're done with you. I mean, most Republicans like that. Most parents, I mean, look what's happened in the schools. Look at the rise in homeschooling, kids going to charter schools or private schools. Most parents, whether they're liberal or not, like still think someone should tell them if their kid is having some kind of major issue at school, right?
Exactly. It's common sense. And I think, like I said, I think that's why the Democrats are really losing their minds over this statement,
Yes.
because there are so many people, independents, Democrats, moderate Republicans, that they're seeing what's happening. I think that the attention on this law this week has been really great because people saw it all across the country, overseas, all over the place. And they're like, what is this? Like,
Right.
we have gone too far.
Right.
And that's where the statement comes that, if you can, it's just time to get your kids out of public schools. When you've lost your rights as a parent, when you no longer know what to expect from school, when the school's hiding things about your child.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, like you said, I can't even imagine a scenario when I was in school where the school wouldn't have called my mom and said, hey, she's cutting her skirt too short, or she's putting mascara on when she gets out of the car. And now we're in a situation where we're saying, if a male wants to become a she or a female wants to become a he, we have to keep that from the parents. I mean, that's unprecedented. And I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but we all know that these things come from the communist and the socialist ideals. They come from Mao. They come from schools of thought like that. And the kids are the ones who really, really suffer here. I can't, I mean, one of the things we never talk about, but think about when all of these kids, like my kid's age and your kid's age, your child's going into 8th grade, mine are going into 3rd and 4th grade. What are these kids going to be like, the vast majority of them, when they are released from public schools when they're 18? And then not even meant to mention when they go into our colleges.
Right. Yeah,
So.
well, it is. And I think, yeah, exactly. They've lost track of education and they're trying to take the place of the family, like you said, with the Marxist thing. And I think what's good, though, is, like you said, they're freaking out so much because you guys have hit a nerve. And here's why it's important, for one of the many reasons it's important. You know that next legislative session, they're going to push this even farther. Every year, they push it a little bit farther. And if the Republicans don't push back, and that's why I get so upset at this, these rhinos, the Anschutz media industrial complex, that puts out all these hit pieces on you. It's like, you're Republicans, for God's sakes, right? And they put out hit pieces because they don't want anybody pushing back. And I think it's so good that you guys do, because if you don't, I mean, how far are we going to let them push us before we finally stand up and say enough is enough, right? I mean, what
I know.
line do those people, the media pieces that are doing, at what point do those reporters think, well, when is too much, right? And not only that, but I mean, you have the right to say, pull your kid out of school without being attacked. You
Yeah.
can say, I disagree with that, but the hit pieces are particularly despicable, I think, too.
Yeah. And like you said, they're coming from Anschutz. They're coming from all of those big wealthy donors. I forget which media outlet, someone interviewed the leader of a big, conservative think tank out here this week. And his statement was that this is not the right approach. We should be pushing for school choice. We shouldn't be slamming public education. And there's a lot of people in the Republican Party that have taken that stance over the last couple of years. And you know what? None of these people have kids in the public schools. They don't.
Right.
Let's be honest here. From the Republican think tank operators to the big donors to POLIS, None of them have kids in the public school. And so when we've reached a point where boys are changing in front of girls are changing in front of boys, and there's porn in the libraries and all the things, Anne Schutz and Dick Wadhams and all the think tank activists, they can just really take a back seat to what's going on here. Parents need to be aware of what's going on, and nobody has the right to say that that's okay and that someone else's kids should be used as guinea pigs in a public school system.
Exactly. Well, and how do they think we're going to get school choice, right? You're going to get school choice when parents start yanking their kids out of bad schools. Pretty soon, it is still America, right? Free market. Pretty soon, the bad schools will be like, oh, maybe if we want to have kids come to school and we want to get funding, maybe we should take a look at our policies. I mean, that's the best way you're going to get school choice is to choose to pull your kids out of bad schools, not sit around and wait for some magic school choice fairy to wave a wand and all of a sudden we have
No.
vouchers in Colorado. Not going to happen, right? So,
No. No.
and you raise a good point. And they don't even have kids. So for them, it's just this theoretical thing. But like you said, you have kids, I have kids, right? You come home and you got to talk about this. And then you got to worry that if something's going on with your kid, the school isn't going to be able to, even if they wanted to, right? They wouldn't be able to tell you about it. And anyone who has kids these ages, you learn how quickly, I mean, it's a silly thing, me putting mascara on in the bathroom, but I took it off before I went home, right? If you know what I mean, without the teacher, my mom would have had no idea what was, and again, we all survived that, but well, Darcy, more than anything too, though, you guys need some help with this. What this Protect Our Kids initiative, where can people find out more and what can people do to help?
Well, they could go ahead and just reach out to the Colorado GOP. It's on our website. We sent out the email all across the state, but you can always reach out to me. What we really need with this initiative is if you're a school board member, superintendent, or if you just have any pull with your local school board, there's plenty of activists and politically charged people across the state that they're not on their school boards, but they're at every school board meeting and they have those great relationships with their school board members. What we really need is for every school district who's able and willing, conservative school district. So from Elizabeth Schools to Garfield County Schools on out to Archuleta, we need your school board to pass this resolution to protect teachers' religious rights and rights of free speech. And this is how we're going to really make a dent in what the Democrats are passing at the legislature in public schools. If we've got a bad burger joint on the corner that we don't like, we don't continue eating there and
Right.
telling them to do better. We
Right.
walk away with our wallets. We tell our neighbors the food's bad. And that's what we need to do here. We need to make changes with our wallets and, with our children. They need to be pulled if they're able to be pulled. But like I said, we need to pass this resolution in as many school districts as possible and, show the Colorado legislature they can write whatever unconstitutional laws they want. But us parents with common sense, we're standing for our children.
All right, Darcy, thank you so much. And thank
Thank
you
you.
for taking the hits. It's not fun and it's not easy, but what you guys do is so important. So thanks. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, and thanks for all you're doing to save the Republican Party and advance conservatism in Colorado. We appreciate you.
All right. Well, thank you. All right. Thanks, Darcy. Have a
Bye.
good day. We had like, I'm going to go back. We've had a ton of great comments. From Charlene, she's saying exactly the state wants to be the parents. It's true, kids are not safe in public schools. From Dr. Donna, I agree. I worked and homeschooled. It meant my working my schedule about in order to do so. I was one of the first homeschoolers as my son is creeping up on 50 years old now, but I felt it necessary then, even more so now. Why did legislators not stand against compelled speech this last session? I think the Republicans tried, but the Democrats just, Dr. Donna, have such control. And then Charlene, whatever happened to drawing a line in the sand? Exactly. And again, from Dr. Donna, so much of the legislative push these last few years appears to have been focused around feelings. How the heck can something that can fluctuate something sometimes moment by moment be used to create the law around it? I mean, it is just insanity. And then, you know, Charlene Boldy bringing attention to it. Everybody knows what the schools are doing. And then great spokesperson, Darcy. Yeah, and this way parents know what's going on. Anschutz doesn't care how your children turns out in public schools. Yeah, it is a huge issue. And I think we'll stay on it. And I'm glad the Republican Party is staying on it. And as always, you know, when you read these things, read it with a grain of salt, right? I mean, they're just attacking it. You'd think, I don't know, that the Colorado Republican Party was saying chop off everybody's heads, and they're not. They're just simply saying, hey, look, we want some accountability. And if this is what you're going to do, then yeah, we're going to suggest to parents, don't put your kids in your school. Like she said, if the restaurant was serving bad food, you wouldn't keep going there and then encouraging and say, well, maybe someday we'll have choice. It's like, you do have a choice. So thank you to them. Wanted to talk briefly about Donald Trump and the Bronx rally yesterday. I have kind of a conspiracy theory, and we'll see what you think. So Donald Trump held a rally in the Bronx. Apparently, no Republican presidential candidate has like been there like for a long, long time. It's a traditionally extremely strong Democrat place. And there was a lot of media there because I think they were all secretly hoping it was going to fall flat on his face. Clearly, they haven't been paying attention to other rallies, right? They were saying, well, maybe they'd have a few thousand, but they had like 30,000 people at least show up to this rally. And what was interesting is the Bronx, it's not the elites. It's largely Black Hispanics. And they were all there supporting Trump. And the CNN, and we're going to play sound from CNN, CBS, and MSNBC, they were like flabbergasted and horrified and fearful of what was going on there because of the reaction from just ordinary Americans who just refused to listen to our elites tell us who we should be voting for. Clearly, we don't have enough Hollywood actors and actresses speaking out because the common folk out here, us peasants, just keep thinking, well, I may not agree with Donald Trump on abortion, but I sure do agree with him on the economy. And right now, that matters to me a lot more. So, Thomas, if we could, this is CNN, where they were like, huh, we thought Donald Trump was going to fall flat on his face, and that didn't happen. Can we please play the CNN soundbite?
What was the crowd like, and what kind of response did he get?
Well, certainly a bigger crowd than I think Democrats would like to see, particularly given this is one of the bluest counties in the entire country. Now, one of the things that was interesting to me is that the Trump campaign said that they were going to micro-target to get people from the community to come to this rally. I wasn't sure what to expect. I've gone to a lot of these rallies across the country, and there are often people who travel hundreds of miles to see Donald Trump, and they're not necessarily part of the community. However, one of the things that I found was that there were a lot of people here that were actually from the Bronx.
So there. So, huh, not only were there a lot of people there, there were a lot of people there from the Bronx, right? Actually, if you've seen, there's some pretty funny photos out. AOC was having a recent rally in the Bronx, and there was like 8 people there, right? And they all were booing her. And CBS had kind of a similar take in terms of, you know, these were not all redneck, beer-drinking, gun-toting white guys, right? It was a pretty diverse crowd. If we could please play the CBS soundbite.
What else really stood out to you about the rally?
I will say this rally did look a lot like America. There was a lot of Asian voters there. There were a lot of Hispanic voters, a lot of Black voters there, which is not typical for a Trump rally that I go to when I'm in Wisconsin or Michigan. Yeah. So that's what was
fascinating. But it is a cross-section of New York.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And that's specifically why Trump was there yesterday. Those are key demographics that he sees are starting to break for him just a little bit. Mm. That door is opening for Hispanic voters to start voting for Trump in record numbers. They want to capitalize that on that in this election. They think if they do, it'll spell success for them.
Now, did you hear? She kind of twisted it. She goes, oh, it's breaking just a little bit, just a teensy, teensy bit. And then she says, oh, yeah, but by the way, they're breaking in record numbers. That's not just a teensy little bit, in record numbers. And the Black vote, too. There were all kinds of people there who were African-American voters. And when you read the accounts who said, you know, all my life I've voted Democrat, but I'm not voting Democrat anymore. The Biden administration and the Democrats seem to think that they can just keep telling us the economy is okay and that no one's going to notice, but people notice. And again, it goes back to the basic question in politics. All the political pundits and talking heads aside is, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Well, if people are not only not better off, they are significantly worse off. And that kind of cuts across all demographics. And then finally, if we could play the MSNBC vote too. I mean, this was the soundbite too. This is MSNBC. Listen to what they're saying.
Worry you at all?
No, at all. I think he's going to be elected the president because everyone still wants him as the president. So to me, it doesn't matter.
Biden, they had disrespected the people of the city of New York. This was the best city in the world. We're not the Great Apple anymore. We're not the Big Apple. We are the Rotten Apple.
Biden went on the Charlemagne the God show and said, you ain't black if you don't vote for him. I'm black because that's what I was, how I was born and what I am. And Trump is the man that can save this country. Period.
So interesting to talk to those voters, Anna, and multiple people actually mentioned that Charlemagne the God interview. I did press back with some of those folks, mentioning some of Trump's rhetoric that's been seen as racist and bigoted. They said they don't have a problem with that. They view his actions over his words in terms of what they feel he can do for their community. Again, the economy, those pocketbook issues over and over again, top of the list.
So what's interesting is in his recent speeches, Joe Biden gets increasingly racist, right? And he continues trying to flame that the whole race issue. And Donald Trump just keeps talking about the economy, keeps talking about what he will do, keeps talking America first, make America great again. And they just wonder, why is he winning? So here's what I want to know. I want to see what you guys think. Why all of a sudden are CNN, CBS, ABC, MSNBC not only attending these things and covering them, but actually reporting somewhat accurately about it, right? For years, they cut Donald Trump off. They pretend like the rallies don't exist, or they have terrible headlines, or they really pick and choose the sound bites they use. So what's going on, do you think, that all of a sudden some of these media organizations that are completely in the tank for Democrats, why all of a sudden are they starting to play articles and news reports that certainly not maybe favorable to Trump, but certainly are kind of telling the truth, saying, hey, there are a lot of people here. We were surprised about it. Democrats can't be happy about the size. We're seeing these demographic shift. And I'm thinking to myself, why is that going on? Charlene says, good question. Here's what I think is happening. And Chuck did a great article in the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle a couple of weeks ago, and it's in Rhino Watch that went out today. So if you haven't looked at rhinowatchco.com, it's there. And he talks about, as one party gains control and really firm control and control of everything the way the Democrats have, inevitably what happens within the party is factions split up. We've seen that. I mean, we've seen that in Colorado, the Republican Party, right? Grassroots versus the establishment. But we're seeing similar divisions and factions and fractions in the Democrat Party. And I am wondering, and this is my conspiracy theory, that there are people in the Democrat Party and in the elite media world who are beginning to get seriously worried about Joe Biden losing and who are doing what they can to start to put pressure on the Democrat Party to get rid of Joe Biden. So in other words, so they're not running cover for him anymore. We've got the Hunter Biden trial that's starting, I think, not if not next week, then the week after. And all of a sudden, even, you know, the media that's in the bed with the Democrats are covering this and are reporting on some of it. And that's what I think. I think that they're looking around and they do not trust essentially that they're going to be able to rig the election this time around enough to defeat Donald Trump. And I think they have a sense of anybody except for Kamala Harris, maybe would be, and Robert Kennedy Jr., but anybody would have a better chance than Joe Biden. And I think some of this may be a push by a faction within the Democrat Party to try to get rid of Joe Biden. And another thing, I think I look at the debate because Chuck and I were talking about that. I'm like, okay, so why is Joe Biden agreeing to debate Donald Trump? You know, he hasn't done that before. He hasn't really campaigned. He doesn't come out of his basement. And it worked the last time, right? And, you know, I've read some pundits and political analysis that say, well, he was forced to because of his numbers. But the problem is the reason his numbers are so bad is because of his policies, his feebleness, his frailness, his dementia, right? And people see that. And that's why his numbers are bad. No matter how much they prep him, some of that's going to come through with the debate. Now, on the one hand, they say, well, if he does badly, they'll have time to resurrect it between, or, you know, to kind of put out a new image between now and the election. But they won't, because every time he appears, he looks frail, right? So I'm thinking, what does Biden actually have to gain by doing this? And I don't think he's going to be able, even if he convinces people in the immediate aftermath of the debate that he, you know, is competent, he's going to do enough stuff that's not competent, and gas prices are going to go up and grocery prices are going to go up, that people will forget, oh, well, he did a good job in the debate. There again, I think that there is a faction within the party that wants Joe Biden to fail, and they want him to fail sooner rather than later. Vivek Ramaswamy has been saying this too. So, I mean, that's just my kind of my conspiracy theory of the day. We've got Johnny from Denver on line one. Hey, Johnny, thank you for calling in. What's up with you?
I got another theory here. So we got duped when Obama got in. The first black president, and a lot of people just voted for him because he was this black guy. Then the second time, he said, well, so I had a question, but this is a black guy. So we voted for him again. And they were able to say, oh, Joe, that's just old Joe, and put him in the background.
Yes.
So then Trump came in, it was good. And then the pandemic hit. And so the economic numbers went down when you forced businesses to lose their livelihoods. Then Joe Biden come in saying he's going to do the best. He's going to bring everybody together. And then we saw that didn't happen. And now the economy is like people are paying like $100 when they were paying like maybe $40 before. And so that now you have to be hurting as poor people or middle class people before you start seeing the light. And
yes.
I think just all those things put together along with your theory there brought it to this level, and I don't think he can push it back, because where are they dumping these illegals? Most of them in black and Hispanic neighborhoods where they always have done stuff like that, but now maybe this generation is more conscious. Unlike, well, when Malcolm X was saying, you know, if you vote for a Democrat, you're a traitor to your people.
Right.
And they totally forgotten about that. But now that's coming back around.
Right.
So that's just my thoughts on it. And I agree that, you know, your conspiracy theory and this one combined together, it's going to be a landslide.
That's okay. Thank you, Johnny. Good point. Well, I think that's true. And Charlene has commented, yes, pushing for a switch prior to the convention. And then James, if you guys are on, he has a YouTube link that explains it. James, do they go along with my theory that there is at least a faction in the Democrat Party that is becoming increasingly worried, and they'd rather get Joe off the ticket sooner rather than later? And I think you would want to do it before the convention, because you would want to use the convention as a big rally to get everybody behind the new candidate, and then try to get back some of those people in the Bronx and say, hey, look, no, that, you know, Joe's policies, we hate those too, right? I don't know. The other thing that I kind of wonder is if the Democrats, because they think long term always, right? I mean, look at the blueprint Colorado. Even if Donald Trump wins, there are so many illegal immigrants here. And there are so many pushes in various places to allow them to vote, to register them to vote. And keep in mind, I think the goal here is not to get a ballot in the hand of every illegal immigrant. The goal is to get a ballot in the name of every illegal immigrant that then can be gathered and cast and harvested by whoever, right? And also, they want to be able to include them in the census, the next census that comes out, which is going to change the alignment of congressional districts, right? So there is a long-range strategy here, and I think that there might be some Democrats who, again, a faction that are like, okay, 2024, we're not clear what's going to happen there, but we do know we have enough illegal immigrants here, and Donald Trump can't undo all of that in 4 years, that we will absolutely control things the next time around. I don't know. That's just kind of my conspiracy theory. And then Charlene says, yes, use a convention to promote the new candidate. James says, oh, it's the Babylon Bee. What's Satan telling Democrats to tone it down? I gotta love the Babylon Bee. That's true. Saying so. Okay, you guys, you're the Red Ark. The Red Ark's getting too crazy. Here, we gotta tone it down. Let's see. Oh, but back with the factions. That is an interesting point, though, too. And Chuck is a historian, as you know. And like I said, check it out at rhinowatchco.com or glendalecherrycreek.com. And he talks about how historically, to a certain extent, there is often where one party will continue, will totally dominate everything. And so then they're not so busy fighting against the other side anymore, and they begin fighting against each other. And we saw that in the Colorado legislature, right? Colorado Republicans, they did a great job. They fought valiantly, but for the most part, you know, didn't have any power in the legislature because there were so few of them. But what you did see was the Democrats fighting against each other. You had the Elizabeth Epps, the Tim Hernandez, the pro-Palestinian. Who knew that in Denver you'd have a pro-Palestinian faction of the Democrat Party? But we do. And they were calling out Speaker McCluskey, who would probably fall. I mean, I would consider her a radical progressive, but she's sort of an establishment Democrat. And they're constantly calling her out and giving her a bad time, right? You know, they're mean tweeting to a Republican Representative Brandi Bradley. But they were a lot of infighting within the Democrat Party. So it's interesting. And then they will end up splitting up, you know what I mean? And then as they fight, then, you know, then the Republicans will gather. And there is sort of a cyclical nature to the whole thing. But anyway, hey, listen, that is going to wrap it up for me. I'm going to cut it just a little bit short because we have all kinds of stuff going on. Next Monday, just a programming note, we're going to be taking the day off. It's Memorial Day for golfing and barbecuing. What we'll do, in case you miss it, is we'll play last Friday's Fireball Friday shot. So if you're going to join in, just have your own fireball shot. You can join in there. In the meantime, though, thank you to Darcy. Thank you to everybody on Zoom and Thomas at BBS. And everyone have a wonderful holiday weekend. And we'll see you next week.